Our catechism this morning will be a catechism that we are beginning in Romans chapter 6 as we go along and continuing in our study of the book. What is Paul trying to accomplish in Romans chapter 6? Two things, both of vital importance. First, to provide Christians with motivation, encouragement, and strength to embrace as a lifelong quest serving Christ and becoming more and more like Him. Second, to dispel the lie that Christ's salvation of pure grace provides a disincentive to holiness and an incentive to wink at sin. How does Paul accomplish these objectives? By showing that anyone who thinks salvation provides an incentive to wink at sin fails to understand salvation in Christ. Paul discusses three aspects of salvation in Christ that prove we have every incentive, motivation, and encouragement to serve God and leave sin behind. And further, that we have for the first time the strength to do so. Not perfectly in this life, but nevertheless, genuinely, steadily, and step by step. What is the first aspect of salvation in Christ that provides us with motivation, encouragement, and strength to serve God and leave sin behind? That Christ communicates His salvation to us, not at arm's length, or as it were, through a business transaction, but through personal spiritual union with us, by which we are made one with Him, and thus everything that is true of Him in His perfect life, His death on the cross, His resurrection in new glorified life, and His ascension into heaven is true of us. How specifically do these truths concerning our union with Christ provide us with motivation, encouragement, and strength to serve God and leave sin behind? Motivation and encouragement come from the fact that the ultimate goal of our salvation in Christ is not to be forgiven, but to be conformed to Christ's image and to enter into His glory and joy. Strength comes from the fact that Christ's Spirit dwells within us, so that we are no longer enthralled to our sinful impulses and inclinations, but do now have the ability to resist evil and do good. And though we will continue to fall short in this life, the Spirit nevertheless works day by day to convict us of our particular sins and to conform us more and more to the image of Christ. And in this process, not only do we encourage and pray for one another, but Christ and the Spirit both intercede for us with the Father. You know, it's amazing when we think that this is what is in view in salvation. It is very easy for us as evangelicals to pretty much just simply identifying salvation with being forgiven of sins now, and then when we die, we go to heaven. And both those things are completely true, but we tend to leave it at that, and we tend to miss out on the sheer glory that is involved in our salvation through Christ. And the fact that through Christ, God the Father literally is bringing us into the life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, we do not become divine. We do not become God. We don't become, we don't lose our identity or personality and become just kind of an indistinguishable part of some kind of a personless divine force. That's not salvation. But nevertheless, God grows us up as His sons and daughters and brings us to know His character, brings us to experience His character. That's why He calls us to do difficult things in this life and why He calls us to face difficult things. For there's no other way for us to really grow up in what it means to be the sons and daughters of God. Now, that's what God made us for in the beginning. I mean, all of that glory and favor He shed upon us in the very beginning. And Christ is to restore us to that when we had fallen from that state and literally had become the enemies of God. Christ is bringing us back into this. But so everything in this life we can see, it goes so much beyond simply being forgiven. And it goes so much beyond simply going to heaven when we die. I mean, there's just so much glory here. And this is really our motivation to walk with God, to leave sin behind, to walk with Him every single day. Because just the greatness of these purposes. So with that in mind, let us turn now to a time of confession. And let us remember that consistent with this glory that God has designed us for, He gives us this message as we go along that if we say, just because we're sons and daughters of God, if we begin to think that we don't have any more sin now, well, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. But here's the thing. We confess our sins. We look into the mirror of God's Word. We see what's there. That's the truth. Truth is out there. We look there. We see the truth. We confess that truth to God. He's faithful and just to forgive us, not reluctantly, but gladly, because God loves to forgive. He paid a great price to forgive, and He freely forgives us